I know the scripture, and I know that you know the scripture, but the scripture guy is going to make it appear right there. Even if you don't know the scripture, you can repeat it after me. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is the day.
This is the day.
Come on now. This is the day that the Lord has made. That was nice and messy. Okay, try it one more time. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That means whether things are going good or things are going to go bad, no matter what, you're going to rejoice because today's the day that God made, and He made it for you. Come on. And He has a path for you. I mean it. He has a job for you today. I mean, glory be to God. I mean, I pray God touches you today. And I pray God changes you today. And I pray that He sets you on fire with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And with the renewed unction to be all that you can be, all that you were created to be in Jesus Christ. You ought to shout this morning. Amen? You ought to shout. Well, that was the start of a shout. All right. We have been in a series for the past few weeks called Breaking Strongholds, and we have been going through the works of the flesh. I know that you know that. We have been doing this for a reason. It's so that the foundational material that Satan needs for constructing strongholds in your life won't be found anywhere in your life. Amen? I can't speak for you this morning. I can only really speak for me, but I know that's what I want. I want it that when the enemy comes towards me, when the enemy comes at me, he can find nothing in me. He can't find a foothold. He can find nothing to grab a hold of. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, as I started writing this message, this part six to Breaking Strongholds, I began to struggle somewhat with it, you know. And I couldn't make peace with doing another sermon right now anyway out of the next three parts of the flesh that about hatred and things like that. I wrote it, but I couldn't settle with it. I did everything I could to make it sound good, but it didn't even sound good to me, okay? So, because you know, it doesn't take me too long, you know, only about 4 days to realize that maybe God wanted me to do something different. I swear, I would be so much better off if I could hear just a little bit better. But anyway, this week, you are so quiet today. I can hear myself breathe. I mean, you want to bring the kids back up? Anyway, so this week, we won't be talking about the next work of the flesh, but instead, part six of Breaking Strongholds, we'll be talking about, and this is the title of the message today, five strengthening strategies for battling strongholds. Okay? That is actually a longer title than the series title. Five strengthening strategies for battling strongholds. And I can't help but believe that this is what God wants us to learn this morning. And I think to some people it's not going to be so much learning as it is remembering. Amen? How many of you know that, say amen. Okay. How many of you know that we've been taught an awful lot over the years? If you've been in Christ very long at all, if you've gone to church very long at all, you've been taught all kinds of different things. But for some reason, there's this tendency for some of that stuff to get lost somewhere in your head. You don't remember it, or maybe you just haven't applied it ever, and so you don't know what to do with it. I'm going to remind you this morning of some things, okay? I'm going to remind you this morning. Why don't you stand with me, please? You bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we're here today because we get to be here today. I thank you, Lord, that you have made a place for us to gather where we can worship you. I pray whatever oppression that may have come in today, I pray it right out that door right now, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that we as Christians have more to be happy about than absolutely anybody else on this earth. And I thank you, God, that as the word comes forth today, I thank you, Lord, that it's going to change us, it's going to awaken us, it's going to push us towards a more serious relationship with you. But right now, in this place, I curse anything that's going to try to get between me and preaching this message. I again curse anything that the devil has set up in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we have also been given something really great in the kingdom of God. Amen? And that's called our Bible. And every Sunday, we get up and we do the same declaration. Well, you're probably going to do that as long as I'm your pastor, okay? So don't say, oh, I hope he doesn't do it next week, because I'm going to do it next week. All right? And I think today it would just be great if we just said this like we really believed it. I mean, this is my Bible. I am what it says it is. I am just exactly what God says I am. All right. Why don't we declare it like we believe it? You ready? Are you one of those Christians that are among the happiest in the world? One, two. We'll try that one more time. Are you?
Yes.
We're getting there. Anyway, we're going to say our Bible declaration, so please take your Bible, hold it up towards heaven, and say this with me. Are you ready? Okay. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name,
let's go.
Amen. You can be seated. Now, I don't know if this is a good thing today or a bad thing today, but the message that I believe the Holy Spirit has for us this morning, well, I just kind of believe it's one of those self-help messages, all right? And what I mean by that is you and I will have to take the information that we're given, and we're going to have to personally apply it. You know why? Because just knowing something doesn't make it happen, all right? Just knowing it doesn't make it happen. And so it is with so many Bible strategies, biblical strategies, that we have learned over the years. They won't just happen. We have to make them happen, amen, on purpose. We have to open the door for those things to happen. Are you with me this morning?
Yeah.
I hope so. So anyway, for this message to practically assist you, you have to personally apply it, amen? And that'll preach. I could stop right there and just keep going, amen? For this message, and actually for any message that you hear, okay, in order for them to practically assist you, you have to personally apply them. Absolutely. And I also believe that as these five strategies actually become five realities in your life, that they will help you build a hedge of protection around your life and around your loved ones, so you're both protected from a stronghold-building enemy who would work his way into your life if he could. And with the five things I'm going to tell you, maybe you're already doing them, and maybe you're already using these five strategies. But if these five steps, these five strategies, if you will, are not already established habits in your walk with the Lord, how many of you know that we have to have some religion?
That's right.
Come on, people. We have to have some. We have to have some things that we do every day,
right.
Some disciplines in our life as Christians. But if these things aren't established habits in your walk with the Lord, then I suggest that you begin to implement them immediately, okay? It's Bible 101. Implement these things immediately to help you remain spiritually strong in these last days. And you really can't deny that that's where we are. You really can't deny it. If you look around you, even aside from COVID-19, we live in some very, very troubled times. You don't know who to believe anymore. Come on. I mean, where do you go to get the truth? At one time, you could sort of trust the media, and now you can't trust a word that they say. I'm going to tell you, this is the day. Say, this is the day. This is the day. Today is when men call evil good and good evil. I mean, we're beginning to see the day that I didn't really think I would ever see. I kind of knew it would come, but because of my age, I didn't think I'd ever see it. But I feared that my kids might have to live in it. And I think you all know what I'm talking about, so I'm not going to go any further. I could name the different things that are so messed up in our world today, but that's not really what we're talking about. But the way it applies is that when you apply these five strengthening strategies for battling strongholds in your life, you'll be better off for it. Amen? Now, again, and I'm going to get those five things maybe to next Sunday. No. You are so quiet. Some of you are going to be driving home and you're going to go, and your wife's going to go, what are you laughing at? Well, that pastor made a joke, and I just got it. Yeah, it's not going to go anywhere at all. Now, I'm not calling this an exhaustive list, all right, of things that you can do to strategize and strengthen yourself. But what I am saying is these five simple steps, and they are simple steps, are a good place to start. Some of the things that you're going to hear, they aren't new, but they certainly need to be repeated. So we're just going to pray one more time before we get started, okay? We're going to break whatever this is. Serenia, would you come up and pray?
Father, we come before your throne boldly and with all confidence because that's what you told us we could do. And Father, we come with a thankful heart and a grateful heart.
Amen.
That we stand clothed in your full armor, that we have the robe of righteousness and mm-hmm. the garment of praise, and a spirit of heaviness has to be broken.
That's right.
Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because
thank
we
you,
worship
Lord.
You in spirit and in truth.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we come against every demonic, because that's the mandate you gave us. That's the command you gave us, that you have given us authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, that nothing by any means shall harm us, God. But we don't rejoice that demons are subject to us in your name, but we rejoice that our names are known in heaven and written in your Lamb's book of life. So, Father, we walk in that authority. We walk with dominion and rule and reign through Jesus Christ. And, Father, we thank you that this word that's going to go forth is anointed, and it will rest on us, just like that anointing rests on us. And it will break every stronghold, every chain, every bondage off of us. And we will give you all praise and glory, Father, for that anointing and that authority that you have given to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our majestic great King, that we love with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, all our might, and all our mind. Mm-hmm. And we will give you all the praise,
yes, Lord.
All the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Serena. The first on the list of five things this morning is something that will definitely strengthen that hedge of protection around your life. And it won't surprise you at all, really. The first thing that you need to do, the first of the five strategies, is pray each and every morning. All right, each and every morning. Start your day, every day, with prayer as part of the plan to strengthen and build a wall of protection around your life and around those that you love. How many of you know what I'm talking about this morning? In Psalm 5:3, David wrote about a commitment that he had personally made. He made this commitment to spend the beginning of his day, every day, praying and conversing with God. He said this in Psalm 5:3, "My voice, you," and he's talking to God, "my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up." So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to look up, and we'll try to figure out what that's really saying. See, David had made it a part of his religious routine, if you will, to get up every morning and spend time with God. Every morning, God was going to hear David's voice. There was, you know, he was going to make sure God knew that he was up, amen? He was going to make sure that he knew that he needed him. Why was it so important for David to pray every morning? Because he knew from experience. He knew that if he started his day with God, he would be strengthened during the day by God. But he would have to start his day with God. He wanted the focus of his life to be God, to be the Jesus, to be the Lord. And he knew again from experience that if he began his day with the Lord, began it with the Lord, his focus during that day would be the Lord. And I have to agree with him, because when you begin your day with Jesus, if you begin your day by praying, okay, but when you begin your day with Jesus, chances are you are going to live your day with Jesus. If you do not spend your day with Jesus, if you do not spend some time with Jesus or whatever time you've got set aside during the day, and hear me now, if you leave that part out and if you have any kind of a habit or religious routine at all where this is concerned, when you leave the prayer out with Jesus, there's something missing out of your day. Because when you begin your day with Jesus, chances are you will live your day with Jesus. Why? Because you've heard it. Your focus determines your reality. But I want you to take a look at the last part of the verse. I think that's really important where David writes this. He writes, "And I will look up." You see, David had a plan. And it was this. Every morning he was going to get up and look up. Come on, you ought to get excited about that. We talked about this before. You might remember, but David would always get up and look up. First, that just what hit the ground, you know, hit the floor, and you get up and you're going to look up. That's going to be his first thought. The first thing that's going to happen during his day, the first thing that he thinks of is going to be Jesus. You see, David was surrounded many times by his enemies, both inside and outside of his home. And all this trouble would, of course, bring stress into his life. And he was beginning to struggle with these things, and anybody would. And I believe the devil was playing mind games with him just like he does with us. And David knew that trying to fight these problems alone, see, that's half of our problem, is we try to fight these problems that we have to go through alone. But he knew if he had to do that, it wouldn't work, and that he would need reinforcements from the Father. In other words, he knew he needed to start every morning by looking up, or things would escalate quickly that could take him down. Are you even here this morning? When you don't make God a priority in your life, when he isn't among at least the first thoughts on your mind. I realize some people are very faithful to prayer in the afternoon, and that is phenomenal. But there's a little bit more to, even prayer can be kind of secluding. How do I want to say this? If this is my relationship with God, then something's wrong with this. Come on. If only this amount of time I'd spend thinking about God, if only this amount of time I spend in the closet, if only this amount of time I think about the Lord, and the rest of the time, that's not going to work. You're a Christian from the time you get up to the time you go to bed. And you know what? You're a Christian while you sleep. You have made a change in your life. And I have to tell you, and we've been focusing on things like prayer time, a one-hour prayer time. Everybody knows that if you pray an hour, you've finally gotten there, right? Right. We focus on that as Christians, and we should. because that should be there. But it's the rest of the time that people see. Come on. It's the rest of the time that is our witness. We've got to make sure there's actually that larger part included in our life. But in the same way as David, we need to start every day with the Lord by getting up and looking up, because the struggles and troubles of everyday life can quickly take you down. And you need to get ahead of it. And I need to get ahead of it. And the thing is, if you ignore the spiritual principle, you're going to lack spiritual power. You want me to say that again? Okay, because you must not have heard that. If you ignore the spiritual principle, you will lack spiritual power. How many of you know that we need a spiritual power, amen, to walk and not stumble through this life? Now, on the other hand, if you pay attention, or should I say, if you pray attention, all right, to this principle, you have the opportunity to pray a peace into your personal path through this life every day. All we have to do is get up and look up, and you'll set up your day. By putting prayer first in your life, you set your focus on God. And I already said this, but it shouldn't stop there. You can actually learn to live in a continual state of fellowship with the Lord in prayer. Doesn't take the place of your prayer time. All right, doesn't take the place of the prayer time. But you can actually learn to live in a continual state of fellowship with them. Ephesians 6:18 says this, that we should be praying always. We should be praying always. And you might say, right, Pastor Watson, perfect world, you know, that might work, but not my world. I mean, I am way too busy for that. But it is possible, because God nor the Bible ever asks us to do anything that He won't equip us to do, but it doesn't mean it's going to come easy. You have to train yourself. Say, I need to train myself. We need to train ourselves to do it. And you might say, how? Well, it's so simple, but we make it so hard. It's by becoming intentional, like David did. By deciding and making it be, this is going to happen, about beginning each day with prayer and doing it on purpose. It, you know, I can't help but think, and I look at Neela here right now, and you pray at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I happen to know that I will never call you at 3 in the afternoon. All right? And so, but you have to understand, that's her morning. Hello? The idea of being continually in prayer is the idea of God being in your mind all the time. I'm going to say it one more time. If you only get God in your mind and only talk to God and only mention God and only think about God during that 5 to 1 hour prayer time every morning, you got a problem, because now you're not really any different than what you were before you got saved. Come on. You've made a commitment to Jesus Christ. And that isn't a light commitment. This isn't what I was going to preach about. When I think about how often you guys hear what I'm going to preach to you, sometimes I wonder if you get sick of it, if you get tired of it. And I would never want that to be the case. So I'll make a deal with you. Okay? Are you ready? As soon as everyone in the sanctuary has a prayer life, I won't mention this again. Until everyone in the sanctuary reads the Bible every day, I'll stop preaching that you need to do that, if you're going to do that every day. And it's the same way with any of the principles with God. And it's, you know, if you ever wonder why a preacher can get passionate about certain things, because he knows that he preaches certain things over and over, and he knows by the Spirit of God that these things are so important. And so many times they just bounce off from people. And you can say, well, how do you know that? You can't tell that. Yes, I can. It's not too hard to figure out, and I probably shouldn't tell you this, it's not too hard to figure out when someone doesn't have a prayer life. And you're going, I'm not going to go to see him, I'll tell you that. Prayer, and I think we've really mislabeled this in a way. We've labeled prayer as being a moment in time. Just so, for some people, like I said, it's a 5 moments in time. For other people, it's an hour of time. And somehow we've made that part be so important, and it is so important. But by focusing on this, we've forgotten about this. You pray without ceasing when you get up in the morning and you think about God, okay? And whether it's good morning, Lord, whether it's, oh, I made it through the night, thanks. What I'm trying to say is your relationship with the Lord is not 6 in the morning till 7 in the morning, or whatever time you set, 3 to 4 to 6, I don't know. Your relationship with the Lord happens more in this, come on, than in this. I know that you know, I can be guilty of standing up here and saying, you have to pray every minute. Have God on your mind all the time. You know, and you're going, yeah, right, yeah. Understand what I'm saying. When something happens to you, I can only say this. All right. One night I was driving to work, and I had gotten saved, I don't know, a year before that or hardly. But here I'm driving down the road, and a deer runs out in front of me, and I hit the deer. Normally, I would have said something else. But what was in my mind, on my mind, was Jesus. So the thing I said when I hit the deer was, Jesus! Not swearing. You know, I called out to him. And I got out, and there was very little damage, and I was able to go to work. Anyway, but what I'm trying to say, if you have a relationship with God, if you have a relationship with the Lord, and he is in your mind, I have this lady in my mind 24 hours a day. Her name is Serena, and she's there all the time, amen, doing good things. But that's what I'm talking about with your relationship with God. Is he there 24 hours a day, or is he only there when you say your prayer and you go, oh, hey, I said the prayer. Man, all right. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow, maybe not. I'm feeling pretty good. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? And I think, and I know this is why so many times people have a hard time. Sorry. No. It's fine. People have a problem with Christians because they never see this perfect thing that they try to portray, and they never will. They never will. But they'll see a much better version of you if you have God in your thinking. Hello? Are you there? I'm here. And I think this is one of the things. I guess Joyce Meyer stole my idea of life on purpose. That's all I can say. I got it first, okay? Maybe the Lord shared it with her too. But by making your life intentional, all right, by saying things like, I have to train myself, I have to be intentional. The idea of having the vision of the church being life on purpose, I don't think there's anything in this life that you can really do well unless you do it on purpose. And the vision statement, which was so important years ago, you had to have the perfect vision statement or nobody come to your church. You had to have three things on the wall that explained the vision. You had three more things on that wall that explained the mission. Then you had to have... It's true. For some reason, that didn't stick. But to have that be our vision statement, that we believe that we're not a whole lot different than anybody else, but the truth is that unless we do this thing on purpose, we're going to end up just like everybody else. And I don't care how wonderful a prayer time you have, if you don't keep God in your thinking and in your mind the rest of the time, I hope you realize what, in my mind, I'm making this pie chart, Dave, okay? And you have this little piece of the pie that's your prayer time and the rest of the pie that is something else. So this can be the absolute last time you ever hear me say that you should pray when you all have that prayer time. None of the stuff in the kingdom of God or anywhere else is going to happen in your life. It never just happens. The truth is, you have to do it on purpose. The promises of God, they're there, but you have to take a hold of them. The blood of Jesus is there, but we've got to apply that. The forgiveness of God is there for us, but we have to give that. Prayer confirms your commitment about being serious about your connection with God. There's no doubt. You can't, okay, well, I'm not going to have a prayer time anymore. I'll do what Pastor West said. I'll just be godly all the time. Well, that's a good thing, but don't do the first either. Prayer, it opens your heart to hear God. I know that you would say yes, but do you really know that you can hear God's voice during the day outside of a prayer time? No. How many of you really know that? Okay. All right. You see, when your heart's open to hear God, He sets a tone for your day to believe and receive the things that He has for you, to believe God's great promises and to receive God's great guiding presence. I don't think I'm going to get to number two today. I could add a sixth, so this kind of actually was way too long anyway. You can tell that because I'm not done with point one yet. Let me just read a couple of the things that I had written here for today, and then we'll close. What happens is this, okay, when you pray to God, as you set your heart to begin each day in prayer, and to stay in a prayerful state of mind the entire day, you find yourself becoming more spiritually attuned to the things around you, to the people around you, to applying the scriptures to the things around you, to trying to see things through the eyes of our Savior around you. See, that prayerful mindset will heighten and sustain your spiritual sensitivity, which is exactly what we need in these last days. See, one of the things that we're tasked with, whether we like it or not, is we're tasked in bringing in that end time harvest. So whether you like it or not, you're a part of that, not of the harvest itself, of those that have, are tasked with bringing it in. There's a couple of things. There's weird things like we're so happy somebody witnessed to us, but we're so reluctant to witness to somebody else. Boy, am I getting off. Never mind. But we have to have a prayerful mindset, okay? And what is a prayerful mindset? A prayerful mindset is a mindset, a mind that's focused on God, whose first reaction is the Lord, who, when somebody asks them a question, you probably begin thinking about, well, how could I answer that biblically? Your mind is more or less, it's not, well, it is, connected with God. Because I know that you can hear God. I also know you can talk to God. I know you can move God's hand in talking with God. And so, begin your day by getting up, by looking up, and setting up your day with prayer before the issues of the day begin to bring you down. When your focus is the Father, your future will flourish, okay? Amen. We talk about the blessings, we talk about the positives, we talk about the good things in the kingdom of God. And we talk so often about how, well, we can't do anything to receive these. Well, you know, we can't do anything to get the blood of Jesus. That's, I can do nothing to get my salvation. Come on, talk to me here. I can do nothing to win my own salvation. Jesus Christ won it for me. Amen? All right. But there are things that I can do that can make me closer to Him. And He's not going to do them for me, but He wants me to do them. But I can do those things. I guess, and I'll close, I promise. I guess I want you to get this. I want you to get this so bad that pray in this fight, yes, but be prayerful in the rest. It's one of the things that will strengthen you so that the enemy can't build a stronghold in your life. I can't keep the works of the flesh out of my life, but the Spirit of God can by me having a relationship with Him. Because He's more important to me than this other stuff. But I want you to get this so bad, but then I wonder if they all get it, will I lose my job? It's just simple. You get up, you look up, because you're setting up the rest of your day. Amen? Amen. Why don't you bow your head with me? Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray, I ask you, Lord, that whatever that was that I just preached, I pray that you would make some sense out of it to the people. What they needed to hear, whatever one person or all of them may have needed to hear, whatever I may have needed to hear. I pray, God, you would take that and use it to the very ends of its ability, God. Whatever you're working in our lives today or our prayer lives today, whatever it might be, God, just work that Work that in us, God. There's nobody like you. And I pray that each one of us today would have a grateful heart, a thankful heart, an obedient heart. Let what was said today, God, draw your people closer. In Jesus' name. Certainly not what I had planned, but I hope it was for something. And I really believe, I feel the presence of the Lord so strong right now. I guess it just boils down to one of the first things I said. This is a self-help message. I can't make it happen. The person sitting next to you can't make it happen. Only you can make it happen. But I guess the cry in my heart today would be, then please help yourself. Please help yourself. Pastor Josh is going to sing a song, and the praise team, of course, just to bring the service to a close. The altar is open. Prayer partners, if you would come up here. And if anybody has an area they want prayer in, please go to one of these. They'll be standing up here. Open if you want to come for a reason about the message or just something in your life, or you just want to talk to God.